Chapter 102. "So, where is this bar?" said Ron. Celeste said, "It's right on Washington Avenue." It was a bar like 100 that Ron had been in with his father when Harry used to take him to work. It was long and dark, with some filtered light that gave it a sullen feel. Ron wondered if bars did that on purpose, like having no clocks in a casino, 'cause it caused you to forget how much time you had spent there. Was the bar designed to make you feel sullen, so that you drank more? Bottles was a stocky guy with curly black hair and dark framed glasses. He saw Ron and came over to shake his hand. "Let's go in the other room for a few minutes," he said. Bottles motioned to the other bartender and jerked his thumb, and then led Ron around the wall. There was another full bar there, but it was very dark and almost empty. Sitting at the bar alone was Alex Loomis, Celeste's first husband and Bottles' best friend. Ron felt a moment of discomfort and scanned for exits. There were none other than the one he had just walked through. Okay, so here he was in this fairly isolated place with two men who might wish to do him harm. He felt his body tense a little. Bottles walked in back of the bar and refilled Alex's glass with bourbon. "Can I get you anything, Ronnie?" Ron felt back in Newark. "Just some water." He didn't want to tell him that he really didn't drink. Alex hadn't looked up from his glass. Bottles said, "Alex, this is Ronnie Tuck. He's going to marry Celeste." Without looking at him, Loomis said, "Good fucking luck with that." Then he laughed to himself and turned to face Ron. "So you're going to marry her now, huh?"
"Yeah," said Ron.
"What's that make you? Number 3?
Ron ignored the barb.
"She told me a lot about you."
"Yeah," said Alex. "What did she say?"
"That you were exciting and talented. That you went to Europe together."
"She tell you that she walked out on me without a word, without an explanation?"
"Yeah," said Ron. "She did." Ron didn't tell him that she left because of his refusal to get a job, his endless drunken nights passed out on the floor, and the generally chaotic life that he wanted to live. Alex went back to his drink and stared into the smoky mirror in back of the bar. All three men lit a cigarette. Bottles looked a little uneasy and then said, "So, you want me to just order what would be standard for a wedding, or did you have something else that you needed?"
"I'd better leave that to you.
Celeste said that you knew a guy who we could hire to tend bar." Alex Loomis reached for the bottle of bourbon and poured another 2 fingers worth into his glass. Ron still wasn't taking his eyes off him, but was watching with peripheral vision so as not to appear to be staring.
"Yeah," said Bottles with a gravelly voice, "I got somebody."
Loomis said, "She's not getting you to do it, huh?"
Bottles laughed. "I'm a guest."
Loomis downed the bourbon. "I'll catch up with you later." He walked away without saying anything to Ron. Bottles looked relieved and said, "Alex is all right."
"Yeah," said Ron. "He seems really nice."
They both laughed. When he got home, Ron called Celeste. "So I saw Bottles, and we got the alcohol thing straightened out."
"That's good," said Celeste.
"I also met Alex Loomis."
Celeste began to choke. She had been drinking a cup of coffee and was mid-swallow when he said it. She could feel it coming out of her nose now. Ron was laughing. Then he said, "Are you okay?"
It took her a minute to stop choking.
"Yes,"
she managed to squeak as she fought for air.
"What happened?"
"He wished me luck," said Ron.
"He did?"
Celeste sounded incredulous.
"Sort of." What he actually said was, "Good fucking luck with that." "That sounds more like him. Was he drunk?" "On his way," said Ron. "Sure. Friday night. Let's see. He'll get fairly plastered, sleep a couple of hours, and then do some serious drinking." "Every Friday?" "You can set your watch by it," said Celeste. "He asked if I knew that you left him without a word." "What did you say?" "I said, yeah." It sounds like it was tense. More, it was just awkward, after I figured out that they weren't going to jack me up. "Were you worried about that?" "It crossed my mind. That's just me. There wasn't anything like that." Celeste smiled. Ron said, "George had the invitations printed for us." "How do they look?" "I haven't seen them yet. I'll stop by their house and pick them up on my way up to see you. I'll get the list from my mom." "Okay. Want to do them tonight?" "Sure," said Ron. Marjorie was waiting for him. She showed him the invitations. Ron smiled at George and said, "Thank you. They're really beautiful." They were printed in a script that Celeste and Ron liked, and they were on a creamily white fine paper that would accent her wedding dress. Ron looked at them again and smiled. "They're really great, George. Thank you." George said, "I printed up enough thank you notes to last forever." The genuine kindness of the act touched Ron in a place that he'd never believed he could ever be touched by George. Marjorie handed him the list. "It's larger than we expected." "We agreed on 100 people," said Ron. "This will bring it to about 125, and these people are important." "Why?" said Ron. George got up and left the table. He went into the living room and turned on the TV. "I want to invite Rocky," said Marjorie. The cold gaze that came over Ron was almost frightening. "No." He knew that his mother had talked to Rocky on the telephone. For all he knew, they may have met again. He hadn't expected her to ask for this, and his reaction was visceral. "He was important in your life." "Pretty much the way the bubonic plague was important to Shakespeare." "Don't be a bastard, Ronald." "Mom, I can't. I hate him. And I don't want anyone that I hate there on that day." "What about your father's boss?" "He's always been good to me. If he wants to come, I want him there." "George's family wants to be there." Ron felt a little stunned. He looked down at the invitations. "That would be nice." "What about your Uncle Mike's family?" Ron thought about his Aunt Dottie and her sister, Anita, who had married Uncle Mike. He wasn't sure why they would want to be there. His uncle had died. "Okay," he said. He loved the Yankees because of his Uncle Mike. He'd ignored his uncle. Ron had the feeling that this would be a rerun of his life. He had very few vetoes, and he'd already used his biggest one.